You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and it's time to break down the weekend sports with Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon, and the Michigan Revenge Tour rolls on. It's with that 42-7 win over Penn State. What did we learn from this game?
Everything. This team is on all cylinders right now. The defense has been good throughout the season. It's the number one defense in the country out of 130 teams. That says something right there. They've been so good for so long, they've allowed the offense to grow up, giving them time to improve themselves. And now the offense is pretty doggone good as well.
Who gets the biggest share of credit for the way things are going right now? Player-wise, coach-wise, whatever.
It sounds totally corny, but right now it's everybody because that's how well they're playing, on offense and defense, special teams even. The coaching staff, Jim Harbaugh made a couple crucial changes in the offseason. One, Ed Warner on the offensive line. He is arguably the best offensive line coach in the country. These guys get no credit. These guys are the heavy lifters of the program, the guys in the mailroom, if you will, et cetera. Yeah. But if these guys don't do their job, the quarterback, the tailback, nothing else is going to work. And these guys were maligned last year, the weakest part of the team. Now it's become one of the stronger parts of the team. So hats off to those guys for sure.
So next weekend, Michigan heads to Rutgers. Safe to say the Scarlet Knights are the weakest team in the Big Ten. And I dug up the fact.
And built to stay that way.
In fact, the last time Michigan went to Rutgers, the final score was 78-0. And then Indiana and then Ohio State November 24th. So you put all that together. What do you think of Michigan's chances of getting to the CFP?
That's the college football playoff, of course. Right now, they're about the only team in the Big Ten who could get there. I don't think Ohio State can get there anymore. I think their odds are better than average, better than 50-50. There's no way they lose to Rutgers. I'm sorry. It's a weak high school team right now. It's not good. Indiana's a trap game. They always play Michigan tough. Watch out for that one. And the Buckeyes are having their problems down at Ohio State, but they're still at Ohio State. So then you get to the west side. You got to play the west side in the Big Ten title game. Right now, believe it or not, that looks like Northwestern.
Yeah, they're having a great year.
They are having a great year.
All right, let's go over to Michigan State. The walking wounded still managed win 24-3 over Maryland. Certainly the Terrapins distracted by the drama over their fired coach, which we're going to touch on in a moment. What did D'Antonio Spartans do right to overcome those injuries?
Man, nobody gets more out of less than Mark D'Antonio. And I know Michigan fans don't like him any more than State fans like Jim Harbaugh, but I got bad news for both of you. They can both coach big time. Michigan right now has been very lucky with almost no important injuries, and Michigan State has been very unlucky on the same front.
With a lot of injuries.
With a lot of injuries. You got backups at a lot of positions, including quarterback, and they're playing very strong football. They've qualified for a bowl game. They'll get a better one.
They'll get a better one. Now, a lot of armchair coaches on social media were wondering why Rocky Lombardi didn't start instead of injured Brian Lewerke. He started Lewerke. Given what we saw Saturday, who do you think will lead MSU this Saturday against Ohio State?
I don't know, because I thought that Rocky Lombardi should have started this game. I'm with the armchair quarterbacks. I think they're right. Lewerke came in far from 100%, as he was also against Michigan. 11 for 20, not a good outing by any means, and he looked pretty banged up. And Rocky Lombardi, all-time all-star name.
Yeah.
With the blonde flowing locks. Put him on the poster now. He's looking pretty good. I think you have to go to him.
What do you expect Saturday against Ohio State?
On paper, they should have no chance, but they often beat Ohio State when they're supposed to have no chance. I've seen this before, and I'd be surprised if they don't play him tough.
Over to the mess in Maryland. Will you count the ways the university mishandled the heat stroke death of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair?
Sad, tragic, stupid, all at once. Jordan McNair, one of their linemen, 19-year-old kid, heat exhaustion due to working too hard in practice. He collapses, goes through seizures on the field in May, this is. And he is on the field for 1 hour before anybody thinks to call 911. That is criminal negligence. That is horrible. Then after that happens, nothing happens internally. No suspensions, no investigations until ESPN 2 months later, comes out with a searing expose of this bullying culture, endangering their health, all kinds of crazy stuff. Then finally, Maryland takes some action, an 80-day investigation, which pretty much confirms the ESPN investigation. So the Board of Regents at Maryland decide, you know what, let's keep him. The head coach, that is. Are you kidding me? I know the guy, DJ Durkin, nice guy. He was here at Michigan. I like him. Some players at Michigan liked him, some didn't, but no one thought he was unsafe. But clearly his coaches at Maryland were. And then what do? They turn around 24 hours later due to the backlash, and the president says, whoops, just kidding, he is fired.
And the president, who was going to retire at the end of the year, so he bought the board.
He's going to retire in protest over the Board of Regents reinstating the coach in the first place.
So what lessons should every single school administration and Board of Regents, Board of Trustees take from what happened at Maryland?
Do the right thing, which sounds really simple, and it is simple, and it's very hard, because they didn't do it five different ways. Do the right thing. Put the players first. That is obvious.
Michigan Radio Sports Commentator, John Eubank. And thanks, John.
Thank you.